We will begin the Warren County Radio Bible School this morning with a Bible question. Now, we're studying in the Old Testament, and we're studying in Genesis chapter 14, where Abraham went out and rescued Lot from those kings of the east. Now, you'll remember this story. It was before Abraham was called Abraham. He still went by the name of Abram. And that those kings had captured Lot. Now, he rescued Lot, and on his return, he stopped by Melchizedek, the king of Salem. So that was one of the kings that he met after he had rescued Lot from the kings of the east. But the text tells us there was another king, and he went out to meet Abraham. Who was this other king? Now, we're not looking for his name, but he was the king of what city-state back in those days? Just like Melchizedek was king and priest of Salem, so this was the king of what place? And we'll look at the answer for that in just a moment. It's found in Genesis 14, verses 13 through 24. Now, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, what king went out to meet Abram as he returned from the slaughter of the kings of the east and rescued his nephew Lot? All right, let me read it to you. Genesis 14, verses 13 through 24. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. Now, he dwelt by the oaks at Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he led forth his trained men, born in his house, 318, and pursued as far as Dan. And he divided himself against them by night, he and his servants, and smote them and pursued them to Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also and the people. Now here's the answer. It's in Genesis 14:17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him in the valley of Sheba. The same is the king's veil. So it was the king of Sodom that went to meet Abraham. And then Abraham went down and paid tithes unto Melchizedek. And we'll read a little more about the king of Sodom in this account in just a moment. But let's look at Elam's notes. I'm looking at the Sunday school notes that he wrote for the Sunday schools of May the 9th, 1926. And here he tells us, Abram means father of height, or exalted father. His name had not yet been changed to Abraham, a father of a multitude. Abram is here called the Hebrew. This is the first occurrence of his name in the Bible, of this name in the Bible, the name Hebrew. And this occurs several times in Genesis, many times in Exodus and other books of the Old Testament, and a few times in the New Testament. Hebrites means belonging to Heber or descendants of Heber. Numbers 26:45 says, of Heber, the family of the Heberites. Heber, or Eber, was the son of Shelah, who was the son of Arpachshad, who was the son of Shem, from whom we know sprang the Hebrew race. Shem was the father of the children of Eber, Genesis 10:21. Hebrew seems to be a padronymic donation, a detonation, a patro... I can't pronounce that word. A patronymic denoting the descendants of Eber. But it may also be understood as referring to those beyond the river. That's according to Young's Analytical Concordance. It's also a name given to Abraham and his offspring. Adam Clark thinks it is very likely that Abraham had this appellation from his coming from beyond the river Euphrates to enter the land of Canaan, because of the word of which Hebrew is a translation, comes from another word which means to pass over or to come from beyond. But it seems far more significant to trace the origin of Hebrew to Eber, or Heber, from whom Abraham descended, even if Eber did precede Abraham several generations. Abraham dwelt at this time by the oaks of Mamre the Amorite. This place we considered under geographical notes. Three brothers, Mamre, Eshcol, and Aner, were confederate with Abraham, or Abram. One who in this battle had escaped capture told Abraham the result of the battle, and therefore that Lot and his goods and his family had been taken captive and by the plundering kings. And so we read in verse 14, Genesis 14:14. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he led forth his trained men, born in his house, 318, and pursued as far as Dan. In this verse, Lot is called Abram's brother. He was the son of Abram's brother. At that time, relationships were not so accurately counted, and a nephew was sometimes called a brother. Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold and continued to increase in riches. He also had servants and camels and asses. He had 300 well-trained men besides other servants. Where Abram camped must have looked like a town of tents. Lot was not poor. He also had flocks and herds and tents and great substance and herdsmen. This is the first mention of riches in the Bible, and, as in Lot's case, we see it demonstrated their danger. Prosperity as often tests one's faith and character as poverty. We read in the book of Proverbs, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, Who is Jehovah? Or lest I be poor and steal, and use profanely the name of God." Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Riches honestly gained are not wrong within themselves. Poverty is not a virtue. All depends on the use one makes of either riches or poverty. Riches were a blessing to Abraham and a curse to Lot. Riches furnished Abraham an opportunity to show his generosity and lofty spirit. Lot, his low and selfish spirit. Abraham's faith triumphed, and Lot's selfishness triumphed. Abraham's victory led him to still greater achievements and fuller blessings, while Lot's selfishness led him to greater sins and deeper troubles. Take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things he possesseth. Luke 12 and verse 15. And in 1 Timothy 6:9 we read, "They that are minded to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition." Abraham's course from beginning to end demonstrates the principle that it is more blessed to give than to receive, and that is better to suffer wrong than to do wrong. "One thing thou lackest," we read about the case in The Rich Young Ruler, and this was true of Lot's case. How is it, reader, with you? Well, we begin to see that Lot begins to reap from his sad sowing. This within itself should teach us a most profitable lesson to all. The well-watered plain of the Jordan, like the garden of Jehovah, like the land of Egypt, and later, the wealth, luxury, and prosperous Eve of Sodom appealed to Lot. He pitched his tent as far as Sodom and made his home in the wicked city. The wickedness of Sodom distressed him, for that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing, in hearing their lascivious life, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their lawless deeds, 2 Peter 2 and verse 8. He had religious life enough to be distressed over the sins of Sodom. Some have not that much now. Still, no one was coveted or converted by him, and none saved. He did not go to Sodom for that purpose. The salvation of others was not the concern of his life. Contrast Abraham's course all along with that of Lot. Abraham rescued Lot. Lot rescued no one. Contrast Abraham's prayer with that of Lot. Abraham prayed for Lot and the salvation of Sodom, and Lot prayed for himself. One's disposition and heart's desire are shown in his prayer. Lot not only failed to convert any in Sodom, but he also failed in his influence over his own children. When children see their parents wholly absorbed in worldly affairs, they soon learn to think that there is nothing so important as business. Lot, doubtless, did not intend at first for his daughters to marry the men of Sodom. Lot went to Sodom seeking wealth and worldly greatness. He separated himself from God's people and associated with the wicked in order to gain these things. He lost all for which he went to Sodom: his flocks and herds, his earnings, his home, his wife and children, except for two daughters. He lost first by war, and then by the destruction of Sodom. He escaped with his life only, a poor, forlorn old man, broken down, homeless and friendless. Even then, the angel had to snatch him from the doomed city. He did not plunge into this great loss and into all this trouble and misery at one mighty bound, but he went into it gradually. He first looked that way. Attracted by the pleasant view, he started in that direction, and he dwelt in the cities of the plain a while, and then moved his tent as far as Sodom. People now move generally toward greater sins, or gradually toward destruction. Well, we read that Abraham pursued after those men that had taken Lot, taking his own trained men and accompanied by Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre and their men. Abraham pursued the four kings to Dan, a town in the northern end of Palestine. We read in Genesis 14, 15, and 16, "And he divided himself against them by night, he and his servants, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people." At Dan, Abraham judiciously divided his forces and attacked the enemy by night. The men were divided, in all probability, to make their attack on different sides of the enemy at the same time and at night, and that small number of Abram's men might not be discovered. From Abram's trust in God and the fact of Melchizedek's meeting him, we would conclude that God was with him. But Melchizedek declares that God delivered him from his enemies. Having smitten these kings at Dan, Abram pursued them to Hobah, which is on the left hand or the north of Damascus, and there the slaughter was complete. We're going to end the reading today at this point, and we'll take this up in our next class.